As we come to look at that wonderful passage, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you that you are God of all, that you are our ultimate Lord, our ultimate Master, our ultimate boss. Help us as we listen to your words to understand what they're saying to us now and to respond in our hearts and minds. And may my words be faithful to your word, like a good servant. May our hearts be open to hear. Amen. Well, I wonder if you come across this little post that was going around a few months ago during lockdown. It was one of these questions: are you a drunk, a hunk, or a monk? And it was really people reflecting on the way that different ways that people were responding to the lockdown. So some people stuck at home all by themselves, just ended up drinking more and trying to block out all the pain. That's one way to do it. I wouldn't recommend it, but that's one way that people did respond. Others sort of said, well, this is a chance to get fit, this is a chance to work hard. Maybe they started watching Joe Wicks and joining in with that or something. And so they really exercised hard and sort of toned up and became more of a hunk. Or maybe some people became more of a monk. This was an opportunity to reflect, to think more seriously and deeply about things, to find your spiritual side and maybe even find God. Maybe you're even watching this sermon or these services because you are interested in God as a result of what's happened with the pandemic, in which case, fantastic. But of course, monks were people in the past, many of whom, would have gone away from society and gone into monasteries and spent their life there. For monks in that sense, that wasn't true of all monks, but for monks in those that are withdrawing from the world around us, is that what we're meant to do as Christians, you might ask? Is that the kind of Christianity that God is calling us to? Well, I think the Bible and the New Testament would say no. We're not called to live away from the world. We're not called to live apart from the world. We are called to live in it. Christianity is just as much about is about relating to God, but it's also just about much about how we relate to other people. Including and maybe especially non-Christians. And yet we saw last week that we're called to be set apart but living for. We are, it says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We're special, we're set apart, we're given a new purpose, a new direction. And yet we're called to live for the world. And this is a world, remember, that rejected Christ and quite often rejects us for living God's way and following his commands. When we realise that we're this special people, when we realise that our special status comes from God, and when we find that the world is often nasty to us because we're Christians, then the temptation is to live apart, to hide away in a monastery, or maybe you're just your bedroom, and try and avoid those non-Christians that seem so antagonistic and nasty towards you. Perhaps for some people, lockdown was a great opportunity to actually get away from people at work that were causing them difficulty or struggles, maybe even their bosses. And yet we're called as Christians not just to live, not to be set apart in the terms of being apart, but to live for and to live among. Look at what Peter says in verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter's saying, look, if you want to make a difference to the world, then we need to live differently to the world. But we can't live apart from the world. So, how are we meant to relate to those in the world? To a world that rejects Jesus, rejects God. In our case, in our world, many people refuse to believe in God. Others will refuse to let him have any control over their lives. It may be a nice idea, but we don't want him to have any real reality in our lives. How do we live in a world amongst people with those kind of attitudes? Well, in the central part of 1 Peter, Peter wants to show us exactly what it means to live in that way. And he starts with possibly the most difficult relationships. Our relationships with those non-Christian authorities and those non-Christian bosses that we may have. What does Peter say we should do? We should submit and do good. He starts by talking about authorities, those people in power, the rulers, the kings. And for us, it might be Boris Johnson in Number 10 and the government and all the laws they put in place. For Peter, it would have been the Roman Empire and so on. And Peter's experience of authority would have been quite negative, wouldn't it, when you think about it? It was the authorities in Jerusalem, the Jewish authorities in the Sanhedrin, the big Jewish council or parliament that sentenced Jesus to death. It was the representative of the Roman emperor, Pilate, who agreed to have Jesus crucified. And Peter's own experience after Jesus died and rose again was that the authorities were often abusive towards him. When he and others went around preaching about Jesus and telling people in Jerusalem about Jesus, they responded by locking him up, flogging him and threatening him with more floggings, more beatings, or even death if he continued. At one point, the puppet king of the Romans, King Herod, had James, one of Peter's best friends and colleagues, one of the 12, arrested and beheaded. And he also arrested Peter, and if it wasn't for a miraculous escape from Jerusalem, Peter too would have been executed. Peter's experience of authority was definitely of authorities that much more than our authorities in this country rejected Christ, rejected Christians. And yet, what does Peter say about how we should relate to authority? He says in verse 13, very starkly, submit. Submit yourself to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor or to governors. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, it is God's will that you do good. As Christians, we're called to submit to the authorities. We're called to do what we're told to do, to follow the laws of the land, to be good citizens. But we're also called to live good lives, to do good things that go beyond the normal expectations of people. And we do that because it's God's will. And in verse 15, we do it so that we silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. See, those that don't like Christians would imply that to be a Christian is to go against the ways of the world, to go against the norms of society. And yet Peter knows that as people made in the image of God, even those that reject God, they will recognize good. And when we do good, and when we do good beyond others, whether it's helping in food banks, whether it's looking after the poorest in society, whether it's just being a good friend or giving a listening ear to someone else, someone that no one else will listen to, whether it's helping the neighbour, when it's going beyond what people would normally do, then people take note. As Christians, we should be the best citizens in our society and in our country. And I guess as Christians living in the UK, we live in a society which actually is very critical of the authority, very critical of the leaders. It's very easy, isn't it, to turn to a newspaper article and to find some criticism of those in power, whether it's Boris Johnson or the government. And in a sense, that's good and that's right, because we live in a democracy and we need to be able to decide who will do the best job, and so we need to see where people are going wrong and understand that. And yet, as Christians, even though we may be very critical of what the government is doing, even though our loyalties may lie with a different political party than the one that's in power, we are called to submit and to obey. And at present, there's lots of new rules coming out all the time, isn't there, as the government tries to work out how best to deal with the pandemic. And one of the most controversial ones coming out this weekend is that you need to wear masks in shops. And I don't know how you feel about that. Some people feel it's an imposition. It's certainly not pleasant having to wear a mask all the time. And yet, this is a new law. and as Christians we should submit. We should follow what the government says, recognising actually that the reason they're putting it in place is for the good of our country, for the good of individuals, to stop the spread of the virus and to protect people from death and to protect people's jobs as well as a result. We should submit and do good to those in authority and for those in authority. But secondly, Peter talks about how we should submit and do God good to our bosses. He uses the word submit there again in verse 18, where he says, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters." Peter doesn't actually say submit to your bosses. Actually, the world that Peter was in was a very different economic world to the world we live in. In his world, there weren't many factories or offices. Rather, the household unit was the basic unit of society. And the master of the house was the one who had ultimate power, was the king of his own household. And everyone was expected in Greco-Roman society to play their part, to do their role within that household, whether it was as a wife or as a child or as a slave. And we will come on and think about what Peter's attitude is towards slavery and slaves, and what his attitude is towards wives, and how people should relate within households when we come to next week's sermon. But I think it's most helpful for us to think about what's being said here in these verses 18 to 25. To understand it not so much as a householder with slaves, but as a boss with employees. There are differences, of course. An employee isn't the same as a slave. If as an employee you're being treated badly, then you have every right, and often it's wise to try and find a different job to get out of a bad situation. And slaves would not have had that luxury. But nonetheless, there's a lot we can learn here. Because just like in those days, there would have been good masters and bad masters. And if you're a slave with a good master, fantastic. They may well have treated you very well, and it may even been a joy to be a slave in their household. But if you had a bad master who treated you harshly, then that would be tough. And if you were a Christian and your master was not a Christian, it would have been even tougher. Because the expectation in that society was that the slaves would worship the same gods as the master. And you'd be refusing to do that. So for Christian slaves, particularly those with masters that weren't Christians and were harsh, this was a very difficult situation. And I know for many people today, actually, it's when you have a harsh and unkind boss that life can be really difficult. And sometimes those bosses are harsh and unkind to you because you're a Christian. And they may make it difficult for you because you're a Christian, or they might try and push you to do things that you know you shouldn't do because you're a Christian. And so having those bosses above you can be very tough and hard. And what does Peter say to you? He says, submit and do good. This, he says, is commendable. You see, sometimes a harsh boss is like an enemy. You can think of them as an enemy. But how does Jesus say we should treat our enemies? In the Sermon on the Mount, we saw that he says we should love our enemies. We should pray for those who persecute us. And so if you do have a harsh boss and a difficult boss, then Peter says, love them. And how do you love them? You submit to them and you do good. You seek to be the best employee you can. You agree to do the jobs that might not be the nicest of jobs that you're asked to do. You do what you can as best as you can, wanting to show that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are the perfect employees and the best employees going. Because this is commendable before God. Peter says, this is what God is calling us to. So will we be people that submit and do good? Submit and do good to the authorities, but also to our bosses, those that employ us. But you might say, well, hasn't Peter said that we're very special? Hasn't Peter said that we're precious to God? He says that in chapter 2 earlier on. In verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We have an amazing status. We are an amazing people. Why should we obey these dodgy bosses? Why should we obey these corrupt authorities? When actually our real allegiance is to the God of the universe and to Jesus Christ, the one who is perfect and pure, the one who knows the best for us, the one who loves us, and Jesus who even died for us. Surely we should obey them rather than our bosses. Why should we submit to our bosses? Well, Peter will want to say yes and no to those points. He says, yes, we do need to think of ourselves not as slaves to earthly masters, but slaves to God. In a sense, we're free. We've been made free. We've been made free from our sins. We've been made free from darkness. We've been made free from our old way of life. But our freedom is there so that we can live for God. In verse 16, Peter says, live as God's slaves. God is our ultimate master. Boris Johnson isn't our ultimate master as Christians. Your boss at work isn't your ultimate master as Christians. God is your ultimate master. Do you see how revolutionary what Peter is saying here is? And he's saying that as slaves to God, we should fear God, firstly. Look at verse 17. There's four very quick commands here. The first one is a general one. Show respect to everyone or honour everyone. As Christians, we know everyone's made in the image of God. Everyone is loved by God and cared for God by God. Jesus came to offer his life on the cross so that anyone can come to him. We should respect and love and honour everyone. But as Christians, our allegiances are changed. We're now part of a new family. We should love our fellow Christians. We have a particular responsibility to care for those who are also children of God like us, those in the church. And we should be committed to regularly attending and regularly meeting up with other Christians so that we can make sure we care for them. But most of all, we're called to fear God. Says that in verse 17. Yes, we're to honour the emperor, but we don't fear the emperor. Peter knew that this was an issue. Peter knew that sometimes there was a conflict between obeying God and obeying the authorities. Yet Peter's keen to say that when there's not a conflict, then what God wants for us is to obey the authorities. So when he says submit in verse 13 to the authorities, he says submit for the Lord's sake. So when you submit to the authorities, you're not doing it because you're afraid of them, but because you fear God. And when you submit to your boss, it says slaves in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Actually, that's the new NIV translation. If you've got the old NIV translation, it's slightly different. The words there are actually literally slaves in fear, submit yourselves to your masters. And it could mean in fear of the masters, but more likely in the light of verse 17, it means in fear of God. And in verse 19, it's commendable to God, what we're meant to be doing. We mean to be conscious of God. So the reason we obey our bosses at work, the reason we obey the authorities is because we fear God and that's what God wants. But there will come occasions when there's a conflict between obeying God and obeying the authorities. And then we're called to fear God and not the authorities. We're called to obey God and not the authorities. For Peter, this was a very real issue. So when he was in Jerusalem in Acts, we're told that he was told by the authorities very clearly to stop telling people about Jesus. And yet Peter knew this was God's calling on his life. This was what God was calling him to do, to talk about Jesus. And so Peter didn't fear the authorities, even though they threatened to beat him and flog him and even kill him. He feared God. And he obeyed God and carried on telling people about Jesus. Yes, we're to submit to the authorities, but we don't fear them. That's the difference between being a doormat and being a Christian. A doormat might be terrified of what their boss or what the law people will say and do to them, and that's why they obey. As Christians, we're not worried about what authorities will do to us. We're worried about serving God and doing what he wants. And that's why we obey the law. That's why we do what our bosses ask us to do. And that's why on occasions we may refuse to obey the law and refuse to do what bosses ask us to do if it conflicts with what God tells us to do. We are God's people. He is our ultimate master, our ultimate king, our ultimate boss. But secondly, we obey and submit because we're following the example of Christ. Peter says in verse 21, we're to do this because to this you were called. What we were called? In a sense, as all Christians, we're called to be like slaves. Because Jesus came like a slave. Peter, in the next few verses, quotes many words from Isaiah chapter 53. It's often called the passage about the suffering servant. It might better be titled passage about the suffering slave. And you see, we're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps. We're called to model our lives on him, and particularly on him as he went to the cross and went to his death. Jesus went in obedience to God, submitting to the authorities. He was obedient to God, doing good. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Jesus submitted himself to the authorities. He didn't fight back. He didn't hate or abuse his enemies, but he loved them. But secondly, Jesus feared God more than man. It says he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus knew that whatever man threw against him, even crucifying him, that God was still the ultimate judge. And although the power of the Jewish Sanhedrin, although the power of Pilate and the Roman Empire came crushing down on Jesus and tried to crush him by that crucifixion, an execution reserved only for slaves. Although Jesus was rejected by men, rejected by authorities, he was precious to God, and God raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand that he will rule forevermore when Rome and the authorities are but dust. Jesus is still in control. Jesus trusted and feared God. And yet Jesus did it for the good of us, for the good of the world. He bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus suffered unjustly, but he did so for our sake and for our good. And it may be that in seeking to do good in the context you're in, with the boss you've got, or in some places with the authorities in your country, when you seek to live for Christ and do good for Christ, there may be times when you suffer unjustly as a result. And when you do, remember that you follow the steps of Christ You're suffering unjustly, but you're doing good. Good for the people around you and good for God. We're called to be slaves of God. He is our ultimate boss. He is our ultimate king. We live in fear of him and no one else. And yet, because we fear him, we submit to the authorities. We submit to our bosses. We seek to be the best citizens, the best employees we can be. That those that see our good deeds may one day glorify our God in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your words here in 1 Peter. Lord, although they're written to a very different world, they're so still relevant and powerful today. Help us to know that we are your people. Help us to fear you before anyone else. And yet help us to be submissive to the rulers and authorities, doing what they ask us to do, and seeking to be the best citizens and the best employees we can be. In your name we pray. Amen.